to the Ideal Network Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Ideal Network Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. The short version of the word ideal in Ideal Network stands for I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. And there's much more. Thanks for listening in, and share this with the people that are most important to you. Now on to our show with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For anybody that might be unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles. We started Building Fortunes Radio a long time ago. It's been over a decade. It has been that long, believe it or not. We started towards the tail end of 2012, beginning part of 2013. I wanted this as a platform where we could talk about really interesting things that were happening in the home-based business arena and or in entrepreneurial people's lives. And sometimes I get bounced off our own radio show because there's lightning outside and thunder, and that might happen today. So if I disappear, I will come back. Otherwise, just send flowers. The reality is we're getting one of those really cool Florida thunderstorms, which is really well-deserved over here. We really need the rain. So having said that, on Wednesdays at this time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. on the Central side, we do a radio show with a great friend of ours. Her name is Darlene Sartori. Darlene and I have known each other for quite a while. She started off as a customer, and I had a huge level of respect for the things that she was working on. So we started Building Fortunes Radio. I invited her to be a guest host, and we've been doing this ever since. And we have this one segment. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal, you'll be able to hear this as well as the previous radio shows. But if you listen in, you'll be able to listen how we kind of, if you will, wander around and or plan different and various things as we kind of document some of the things we're working on. And Darlene and I have been kind of heavily involved in some conversations related to doing something with home-based businesses specifically. I got to shut off my phone. Sorry about that, guys. And my phones ring like crazy sometimes, and I just got to remember to shut off the ringer. So in reference to this, we talk about different and various things, and we've been speaking about stuff related to her next moves in her life and some of the things that might even affect you if you're listening in, you want to be a part of it. So we've been speaking about inner circles and the community groups that we've been working with and focusing on what are we going to do in the next decade as well as, you know, what's happening in the rest of 2023 and how you can build a sustainable life and a whole bunch of other things. So you can use this to kind of document some of the things that she's working on and participate, if you will. But for those people that are listening in, you'll always find something very interesting to be able to grab a pen and paper, make some notes and whatever your favorite note-taking device is, because she'll reference something you want to look at a little bit later. We played a couple of videos last week, which were audios for you guys to be able to hear on the Arantia Papers, and maybe she'll do a couple of those today as well. But Darlene, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Hi, thank you, Peter. Yes, when we started last week, of course, we wanted to put together a series that explains a little bit of what I'm taking my next course towards in my life of doing things, is to help with creating chaplains courses for the various topics that we need, the different areas of service we need in our communities. So if you want to know more about chaplains, you can start doing a search on the internet for the word chaplain or chaplaincy and start to see where we're at on the planet with the various types of chaplains. For instance, my brother works with the racetrack. He is the photographer for a local racetrack. And he became a chaplain to serve in the level of those who do and serve in racing. So most people wouldn't think of a chaplain when they think about a chaplain as being on a racetrack. Well, this is very, very needed in that type of an area. So instead of me going through and doing a complete overview right now about what a chaplain is, I'd like to kind of invest a little more time in why it's important for us to do this. And I think that one of the main things that we need to understand, comprehend clearly, is that we are in a correcting time. So what I'm going to play is a section in the Urantia papers that talk a little bit about this, of what happened in after Pentecost, which we talked about. So if you've not listened to the previous radio show that we did on May the 31st of 2023, you need to go and listen to that one, because I set up the scenario there of helping us to understand this thing called the spirit of truth. What happens, and I put this in the very end of that segment, but I want to bring it up to our very close consciousness at the moment, is to talk about this terms that we use called consciousness and conscience. Conscience would be like your moral integrity. You just seem to know what is the most life-empowering thing to do. And when you have the alignment of your brain, in your heart, in your solar plexus, the neurons of the human body that we live in while we're on this planet happens to be able to give you this balancing, okay? This balancing of all of our skills. You and I have lived with these parts of our DNA code all of our lives. But this wasn't true of the disciples, the apostles, and those of Jesus' time when he was on the planet. They did not have this alignment. And so it was very easy for them to get misled in their excitement over this new thing called the spirit of truth that had entered them. And so we are now 2,000 years later still going through and kind of suffering the consequences of errors that have been made along the line in developing what we know as religions. So if we begin to go back to the beginning of understanding Jesus' message, and the easiest way often to understand Jesus' message is often just to study the parables that they talk about in the Bible and then go to the Urantia papers and expand upon the teachings from the parables. Because remember that when Jesus was on the planet, he was teaching to people who did not have the spirit of truth as yet. And what I've discovered is that if a person doesn't make the connection with this DNA code, if we don't have we have the power. You may know you have the power, but unless you make claim to that power, you don't possibly will seldom ever be able to make a real connection with reality-based life. And this is sometimes very challenging for some people to comprehend in the very beginning when you're talking about reality-based and spiritual-based. Well, when you are spiritual-based, you are reality-based, but not necessarily when you are reality-based, you are not necessarily spiritually-based. So this is kind of how I began to describe to people what it means when you truly are a triad being, when you really are based. Another area that I discovered in working with Peter in trying to comprehend this is whenever you start learning something new or you need to learn something new, one of the first things you need to reach out to is an inner circle, a circle of people that you have made connections with, that whenever something new comes along, you can go to. And over your life, if you've done a really great job of connecting with this concept of inner circles, you have a lot of resources that you can call upon. Well, gratefully, now we do have the internet, and the internet can provide ourselves through the use of search words in the search engines with topics about a specific thing that we're wanting to know about. So sometimes, though, what has happened is we have replaced the internet with true individuals. And we've talked a little bit about, but not gone into, this thing called artificial intelligence. So as we are moving into using a new form of search engines, we need to be extremely cautious, because it's going to be challenging for us to know often when you put in something in a search engine as to what is it bringing up. And the concern is that the dynamics that we pick up and ask the artificial intelligence to do a search about and write an article about a certain topic, it might not be bringing forth the things that you might think it be doing. So one of the things that in using artificial intelligence is to learn a skill of being specific what you would like it to search for, the word that you would like it to search for, or the topic you would like it to search for, using according to, and make specific when you're going in there asking according to the Urantia papers. So you would say, please search on, and whatever the case might be, according to the Urantia papers, or according to a person's name, or according to. So that is a key piece of information that I have found as I began rebuilding my inner circle. Because as I shifted my focus on those that I would like to connect with, I've had to find that I've changed my language, words that I use in this correcting time. I try to replace words such as understanding with comprehension, because I'm not standing under anyone. In other words, I'm attempting to comprehend something. So as we begin our chaplain's course, we will begin to look at words that we need to change to be more clear. Another word that I have replaced is the word believe or belief, because within those two words is the word lie. Well, we're seeking to know truth, beauty, and goodness. We have to begin to learn a little more clarity about how to use our words. And this is why I encourage Peter to begin really starting back again with our inner circle of people, so that we can gain an understanding of those that are working with us in using the Building Fortunes program and other things that Peter has put together, is because in order to be able to achieve the desired results on our planet, we need to understand our economic base. We need to understand what is it that you can afford to do. I just had a conversation with one of our people that is at Enoda. I talked about that camp retreat before. And she was concerned about some things and wanted to know, could I go ahead and push forward on this chaplain's course and et cetera, because they desperately need the dynamic of getting the addictions zappers program in operation. And like so many other things that I've started, I found that it was not moving forward in the way that we had intended it to do, because people were not fully informed as to how the beingness of living on this planet has gotten changed wrong. So I'm going to play a section. It's a little bit longer section, so I want to play this section, and it's called The Beginnings of the Christian Church. And we alluded to this last week when suddenly when the Spirit of Truth came, there was this excitement and et cetera, and people went out and started changing. It became Peter's interpretation, Paul's interpretation, John's interpretation, because they had not sat down and created a true inner circle. Now, I think as we ended the chapter last, the paper last week, I mentioned for you to continue what Peter had called the people together. But what they didn't do was follow through of staying together, stay connected, figure out what is this newness that's coming on to us. Let's not get too carried away with this. And this is where, when I was at Anota, I felt like that may be what was going to be happening if we didn't step back and really get a step one, step two, step three, a system whereby we were actually working from the same book. And so this is what I'm doing now, is going back into the Urantia papers. So I'm going to play section 4 in paper 194. And I played last week, and it seems like it comes through loud enough that you can understand it. But all you have to do is go to either urantia.org or truthbook.com, and these papers are posted on the Internet, and so you can find those. So if we're going to be playing The Beginnings of the Christian Church, and I'm hoping that you'll get a little bit of a feeling of what happened and why we got so far off base from what Jesus had intended to happen. And maybe this will help us to make sure that we do put together inner circles about the topics that you're desiring to create in your life. And so I'm going to put the phone up closer to this, so hopefully you'll be able to see it, and then we'll start with this.
Four, Beginnings of the Christian Church. When Jesus was so suddenly seized by his enemies and so quickly crucified between two thieves, his apostles and disciples were completely demoralized. The thought of the Master, arrested, bound, scourged, and crucified, was too much for even the apostles. They forgot his teachings and his warnings. He might indeed have been a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, but he could hardly be the Messiah they had hoped would restore the kingdom of Israel. Then comes the resurrection, with its deliverance from despair and the return of their faith in the Master's divinity. Again and again they see him and talk with him, and he takes them out on Olivet, where he bids them farewell and tells them he is going back to the Father. He has told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they are endowed with power, until the Spirit of Truth shall come. And on the day of Pentecost, this new teacher comes, and they go out at once to preach their gospel with new power. They are the bold and courageous followers of a living Lord, not a dead and defeated leader. The Master lives in the hearts of these evangelists. God is not a doctrine in their minds. He has become a living presence in their souls. Day by day, they continued steadfastly and with one accord in the temple and breaking bread at home. They took their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. They were all filled with the Spirit, the word of God with boldness, and the multitudes of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them said that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, and they all had things in common. What has happened to these men whom Jesus had ordained to go forth preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the fatherhood of God, and the brotherhood of man? They have a new gospel. They are on fire with a new experience. They are filled with a new spiritual energy. Their message has suddenly shifted to the proclamation of the risen Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, a man God approved by mighty works and wonders. Him, being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you did crucify and slay. The things which God foreshadowed by the mouth of all the prophets, he thus fulfilled. This Jesus did God raise up. God has made him both Lord and Christ, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received from the Father the promise of the Spirit. He has poured forth this which you see and hear. Repent, that your sins may be blotted out, that the Father may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things. The gospel of the kingdom, the message of Jesus, had been suddenly changed into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They now proclaimed the facts of his life, death, and resurrection, and preached the hope of his speedy return to this world to finish the work he began. Thus the message of the early believers had to do with preaching about the facts of his first coming and with teaching the hope of his second coming, an event which they deemed to be very near at hand. Christ was about to become the creed of the rapidly forming church. Jesus lives. He died for men. He gave the Spirit. He is coming again. Jesus filled all their thoughts and determined all their new concept of God and everything else. They were too much enthused over the new doctrine that God is the Father of the Lord Jesus to be concerned with the old message that God is the loving Father of all men, even of every single individual. True, a marvelous manifestation of brotherly love and unexampled goodwill did spring up in these early communities of believers, but it was a fellowship of believers in Jesus, not a fellowship of brothers in the family kingdom of the Father in heaven. Their goodwill arose from the love born of the concept of Jesus' bestowal and not from the recognition of the brotherhood of mortal man. Nevertheless, they were filled with joy, and they lived such new and unique lives that all men were attracted to their teachings about Jesus. They made the great mistake of using the living and illustrative commentary on the gospel of the kingdom for that gospel. But even that represented the greatest religion mankind had ever known. Unmistakably, a new fellowship was arising in the world. The multitude who believed continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They called each other brother and sister. They greeted one another with a holy kiss. They ministered to the poor. It was a fellowship of living as well as of worship. They were not communal by decree, but by the desire to share their goods with their fellow believers. They confidently expected that Jesus would return to complete the establishment of the Father's kingdom during their generation. Spontaneous sharing of earthly possessions was not a direct feature of Jesus' teaching. It came about because these men and women so sincerely and so confidently believed that he was to return any day to finish his work and to consummate the kingdom. But the final results of this well-meant experiment in spotless brotherly love were disastrous and sorrow-breeding. Thousands of earnest believers sold their property and disposed of all their capital goods and other productive assets. With the passing of time, the dwindling resources of Christian equal sharing came to an end, but the world did not. Very soon, the believers at Antioch were taking up a collection to keep their fellow believers at Jerusalem from starving. In these days, they celebrated the Lord's Supper after the manner of its establishment. That is, they assembled for a social meal of good fellowship and partook of the sacrament at the end of the meal. At first, they baptized in the name of Jesus. It was almost 20 years before they began to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism was all that was required for admission into the fellowship of believers. They had no organization as yet. It was simply the Jesus Brotherhood. Jesus' sect was growing rapidly, and once more the Sadducees took notice of them. The Pharisees were little bothered about the situation, seeing that none of the teachings in any way interfered with the observance of the Jewish laws. But the Sadducees began to put the leaders of the Jesus sect in jail until they were prevailed upon to accept the counsel of one of the leading rabbis, Gamaliel, who advised them, "Refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work is of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, You will not be able to overthrow them, lest haply you be found even to be fighting against God. They decided to follow Gamaliel's counsel, and there ensued a time of peace and quiet in Jerusalem, during which the new gospel about Jesus spread rapidly. And so all went well in Jerusalem until the time of the coming of the Greeks in large numbers from Alexandria. Two of the pupils of Rodan arrived in Jerusalem and made many converts from among the Hellenists. Among their early converts were Stephen and Barnabas. These able Greeks did not so much have the Jewish viewpoint, and they did not so well conform to the Jewish mode of worship and other ceremonial practices. And it was the doings of these Greek believers that terminated the peaceful relations between the Jesus Brotherhood, Pharisees, and Sadducees. Stephen and his Greek associate began to preach more as Jesus taught, and this brought them into immediate conflict with the Jewish rulers. In one of Stephen's public sermons, when he reached the objectionable part of the discourse, they dispensed with all formalities of trial and proceeded to stone him to death on the spot. Stephen, the leader of the Greek colony of Jesus believers in Jerusalem, thus became the first martyr to the new faith and the specific cause for the formal organization of the early Christian church. This new crisis was met by the recognition that believers could not longer go on as a sect within the Jewish faith. They all agreed that they must separate themselves from unbelievers, and within 1 month from the death of Stephen, the church at Jerusalem had been organized under the leadership of Peter, and James, the brother of Jesus, had been installed as its titular head. And then broke out the new and relentless persecutions by the Jews, so that the active teachers of the new religion about Jesus, which subsequently at Antioch was called Christianity, went forth to the ends of the empire proclaiming Jesus. In carrying this message, before the time of Paul, the leadership was in Greek hands, and these first missionaries, as also the later ones, followed the path of Alexander's march of former days, going by way of Gaza and Tyre to Antioch, and then over Asia Minor to Macedonia, then on to Rome and to the uttermost parts of the empire.
This reading from the Urantia Book is presented by truthbook.com. Audio.
Okay, as you now have heard, and if you go back through that section and pay attention to it, you see that there was a lot of good and some misunderstood dynamics for us to be able to move forward with. So these are kind of like, I might say, a word of warning that as we go forward, we need to not make any of the errors of the past of not thinking it through clearly. By having an inner circle of people we're working with in creating the chaplain's course. So this is where we're at right now, is actually creating that inner circle of people. So what I'm doing is looking at, and as I'm going to be talking more and more about the types of chaplains, the categories of chaplains, you'll begin to see as you live your life, is what inner circles do you need in each of the categories that you might be doing your ministry in. And as we go forward with what Peter has created for us, and I must, you know, encourage you if you've not joined the Building Fortunes program, because our dynamic is to help individuals to achieve success in whatever vocation or career that they have desired to follow. And we are unique in that area. What we are doing with the Building Fortunes program, the affiliate program, gives you a way to start building your inner circle of people who are working with someone like Peter, who has been there, done that, as far as understanding how to organize your life in such a way to make the right questions, to ask the right questions. So I think we're going to move it probably next week into more about some of the things that Peter has that might help us in developing the categories of the chaplain's course, so that when you take a survey, you'll be able to answer the questions in a way that you'll be clearly understanding, comprehending where you would like to follow in that, because your career that you're doing to create money with is going to be the same career you're using to be a chaplain with. And so that's where I, you know, I mentioned my brother doing the racing, and now he's a chaplain for the racing. So his career and his spiritual life are coordinated. So back to you, Peter. We've run out of time.
Yep, we sure ran out of time. But for those people that want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to be able to do that?
812-664-7419, or the email idealnetworkprojects@gmail.com.
And we'll make sure we have this up on the web in the next day or so, so you'll be able to listen to it. But, Darlene, where are you pulling these audios from so people can go research some of this stuff on their own if they wanted to?
Okay. It's simply go to Urantia, URANTIA.org, and the papers are there. Just click on read or whatever on that line. It's just, you know, they're all – and the other one that I use is the truthbook.com. And again, just go to introduction and then the drop down, that drop down menu says introduction, and then click on the papers. So that's where you can begin starting on them. And so maybe I go a little bit more into that as we go forward. But they can always call me if they haven't figured it out.
Excellent. Okay, good. Well, we'll catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. We'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Ideal Network Radio Show on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more segments with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingle. Darlene encourages everyone to join the Ideal Network so you can say, I live the ideal life, where I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Darlene, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word. Tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.